At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Come on!
Spending too much time on social? Is your daily screen time over 2 hours? Are you a little bit overweight? Not saving enough money? Any or all of these are familiar. Strive could be for you. The Strive 2-week online bootcamp will help you to detox your mind, body, and money, getting you on your way to a happier, healthier, wealthier, and more confident life. Go to strivedetox.com, strivedetox.com, and get your mind, body, and money right. Welcome to Money Savage, Savage Approach Personal Finance. This is George Grombacher, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, strong and powerful Caroline Yuki. Caroline, are you ready to do this?
I'm ready to rock and roll.
Excellent. Let's do this. Caroline is a wealth engine mentor. She is an income accelerator, helping people stop trading hours for dollars. I'm excited to have you on. Caroline, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Sure. So I'm a huge sucker for avocado smoothies. They go great with lime. I love, the organic foods, doing Pilates, yoga. I learned about surfing and I'm in love with it. I learned how to surf when I was in Costa Rica. I paid $20 for a lesson. And the biggest thing I remember about that is I saw other classes, like they would ask people, like, do you surf goofy or do you surf regular? And people would have to think about it, you know, change left foot in the forward, you know, right foot forward, which one feels more comfortable. But what was really cool about this instructor, he just said, all right, you know, start, you know, paddling on the ground and let's just jump up. And then once I jumped up, he'll just say, okay, you're goofy. So it was very straightforward figuring out from there. Yeah. So it's great. And I'm currently a student going through MBA school, and I have this project, the Bold Millionaire Project, and it's to help empower women to build their wealth engines early. And the reason I started this project is because I had a friend who her husband unfortunately passed away from cancer, and she was not used to doing her finances and was looking for, you know, financial advisors, referrals, and she trusted them more than trusting herself. Unfortunately, she trusted the wrong person and ended up getting scammed of $300,000. So what I tell people, it's really heartbreaking when you think about it. It's like, why are there so many bad people out there? But when I think about it, I think, you know, it's not about that there's bad people out there. There always will be. But it's also about not having that money investing and confidence, not being able to trust themselves with their own money, that hard-earned money, and rather trusting someone they don't know. So the idea of the Bold Millionaire Project is to help women build that money and investing confidence.
Got it. Like, I'm a big fan of confidence. Having it is way better than not having it. So that's probably the most trite thing that I'm going to say today. But I very much appreciate everything that you just said. So I guess, what's the starting point with people? Is it, I mean, because you can't just build confidence, because there's a lot of things that are working not in our favor when we're talking about being successful with money, right? Is it our brains?
Absolutely, yes. So a lot of it is the thought, the fear that comes to mind. And it's not something that, like, no one is born with money confidence or born with investing confidence. It's something that we grow and learn over time. And as we practice and get better at it, we build that confidence, much like how we learn how to play a new sport. Like, nobody just, like, has that confidence at the beginning. Like, usually you work on it, you practice it, then you're getting good at it, and then you feel good about yourself. And that's where that confidence builds from. And much too, you mentioned, it's from our brain. A lot of it starts, you know, from our brain aspect. When we think about, you know, like how we think about money, interestingly, it goes back to like how our brains are wired. And from an evolution standpoint and brain science standpoint, they said that, you know, humans, like, we evolved from the caveman days, where the brain is so used to preserving and looking for resources. So we're starting from a hunter-gatherer ancestor, you know, type of mindset that we're looking for resources, and you're trying to, like, basically save enough food to get through the winter, or you eat, you know, what you need for the day or for the week, and then you go out and accumulate again. So the brain still has that mindset that they're trying to basically meet a desire. It's like, oh, I'm hungry today. It's like, oh, I need to go find food today. So it's not really used to looking out to the long term. And also the brain is not used to handling risk, because it's also a mechanism to protect people, right? If they're going down a path, you know, they're not familiar with before, then they kind of freak out. Which is also why, like, my friend, like, when she thought about managing her own finances, you know, maybe a red flag in her brain said, no, you're not able to do this. You're so used to having someone else do it. Go find someone else, because that felt safer to her at the time.
Got it. I think that makes a lot of sense. And that's interesting. Saving up enough food for winter, just making sure that you have enough resources so you don't starve to death, and you have enough wood so you don't freeze to death, which all very, very reasonable, but not necessarily very helpful to us today. It puts us into more of a scarcity mentality. And I don't know if this is true or not. I think that stereotypically speaking, men are more aggressive than women are. And do you think that this then makes it even a little bit harder for women to take this next step? You talk about being bold, and taking on risk. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. And yes, there has been studies around it that women are more fearful of losing. So there's that loss aversion mentality. So I even did a survey of women, like, why they don't invest more, and their husbands encouraged it too. Said, yeah, sure, you know, just take $100, just go invest it, you know. And the number one response is, you know, I'm scared of losing it. Like, I really don't want to lose it. So, and it also goes back to the evolution. Like, women are comfortable, like, knowing that they're provided for, even though now, I guess, women are more empowered, like, they're also working as well, but that we don't have that financial education, you know, training that starts earlier enough so that they are also, you know, well attuned into the investing portion, which is where I'm trying to help close that gap, is because they haven't been exposed to it, I should say. Like, a lot of women, they grew up seeing their dads do the investing, and then their moms, you know the basic finances, but they don't get involved with the conversations with the long-term retirement planning and all that. So that's something that's going to change, because as a lot of women, they're becoming more empowered financially, they're going to have new financial needs. And now that family composition is also changing. Like, sometimes the woman now is the breadwinner of a family, and then the dad's the one who stays. So it's changing as well. And it's really interesting because the dynamics are changing really quickly. So there's a bigger need for women to figure out, you know, that portion, so they know how to make those decisions as well. And sometimes women find themselves in, you know, unexpected circumstances that they're on their own and they need to make these decisions. So I find that, you know, it's something better to learn earlier than later, trying to figure out, especially when they're under stress, or like my friend, you know, she's widowed and stressed out and trying to figure out then. So it's definitely, yeah, something that I encourage women to dive into early.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And, you know, it's one of those things that we just have to understand what it is that, for lack of a better term, we're up against. This, our brains are not helping us to be successful investors. It's such a tough balancing act, because I know how important it is to understand your cash flow, and I know how important it is to be focused on reducing expenses. But if that's all you think about, that will be very limiting, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's also the world around us is, you know, I say it's very modern, and then our brains can't keep up with it, because human evolution is really slow, but the cultural evolution and business evolution around us is very fast. Like, we have credit cards now, we have, you know, Wall Street. So the fact that our brains, yeah, is not able to keep up with that, like, we have to train ourselves to think in that mindset of interest rate, you know, long-term, you know, retirement, because it's not something the hunter-gatherer mindset was used to thinking about. It was more thinking about, you know, survive for another day. Let's survive this winter. Let's survive this week. So yeah. It's, I call it, yeah, the hardwiring of the brain, or biological hardwire. We're not there yet. And that's why we need to, like, continue educating ourselves to, you know, program ourselves to think in that mindset.
So it almost seems like it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing. It's like, I do want to make sure that all my bills are paid and I have enough money in the bank account for 3 to 6 months worth of emergency. But if I'm never, but if I'm always sort of at that level, I'm never going to break through and really have wealth. So how do you flip that switch and start breaking through that limiting thinking? I appreciate that we need to understand how our brains work, but then how do you then take that next step?
Yeah, it's a great question. So the mindset has a tendency to go into that scarcity mode of focusing on things that we don't have. And the more that we think about, like, what we want versus what we have, it's like a balance beam. Like, when we realize, like, what we want is not quite balancing to what we have, then the mind kind of goes out to dig itself deeper into this tunnel vision mode. It's like, oh no, I don't have enough money. It's like, oh, I better stop, you know, going out, I better stop this, stop spending on that. You know, like, I have to keep squeezing and hanging on to my money, or else I won't be able to make it through. And some people call it, you know, like, I guess, neural programming. Some people call it, you know, hypnosis or money manifestation or law of attraction. But the idea is to stop that limited belief and then to believe that we have it already now. And so that we stop that trap of going into a tunnel vision mode, and we tell ourselves, you know, yes, the world is abundant. There is plenty of opportunity. You know, there are opportunities to make more money versus thinking that they're just stuck in their current situation. I think a lot of times it's that energy, I guess, yeah, that we bring in of, I guess, that mindset where we go. Because I know, like, sometimes I see, you know, people when they're working, they're like, oh, I gotta go to work, like, oh, I'm stuck in traffic. And then they're just, like, always resentful and angry. And I remember listening to this show talk, and what it stuck to me is they mentioned, like, if we're not grateful, you know, we're resentful. And that shifted that mindset and energy for me, because I realized, you know, that person could flip it around and said, wow, you know, I'm so grateful I have a job to go to, you know, I get to collect a paycheck. And instead of thinking, like, I hate traffic, like, why am I here, they could think, like, wow, I'm so grateful, you know, I have a car, I have transportation to get to where I want to. So a lot of it shifts from, yeah, that mindset and the energy where they want to think, and then where they focus on really grows, because as they're grateful, looking for more opportunities, they know there's, you know, there's a promotion opportunity out there, there's, you know, there's opportunity out there, there's money around them, then the more they start gravitating towards trying to improve and, you know, upgrade their lifestyle, where they get it to where they want to be.
I think that so much important stuff that you just said right there. This idea that you need to really believe that you have it now, that do you find that people have a hard time wrapping their brain around that?
It is. And I've listened to a lot of Tony Robbins, and they did a study of what people mentally believe. And then it was basically tracking, like, their mindset brainwaves versus their heart waves. And they call it, like, cognitive dissonance, that if you don't believe what, you know, you want to believe, then there's a gap. And then because of that, it won't happen. So I think that's the hardest, most challenging part of the mindset belief, is believing that they can get there, or believing that they can win. And that's also something I learned so much from, like, watching the Wimbledon, you know, and like watching a young tennis player, you know, beat Serena Williams, people kept asking her, like, you know, how did you do it? How did you do it? And she said, you know, every day in the morning, like, she would visualize herself, you know, playing against Serena. She would visualize herself, you know, winning Serena. So a lot of it is that belief. And since our brains cannot differentiate between reality and subconscious, so people always say, like, that's where that visual, you know, mindset planning or, you know, the vision board are briefly programming their mind to believe it happens. Like, we have to do it again and again, because we also have to realize everything that we believe about money or abundance, wealth, it starts from a young age. Like, we grow up and, you know, we have families, and most likely your families, like my grandparents, they always said, you know, to save, because they grew up in a time, you know, the Depression or World War II. And so they have that, you know, scarcity mentality. It's just, you know, just save, you know, for another day. And also when they think about rich people, they might have said something negative. So we grow up, you know, like 25 years, and we're hearing all this different negative, you know, programming around, like, money, having money is not good, money is evil. We're just hearing all this for so many years. So now trying to reprogram that, it really needs to be done, like, every day, of retuning that mindset that there's no negativity, so that we can keep reminding ourselves it's there.
I didn't realize that the young lady who beat Serena, that she said that she visualized every morning. I think that's an incredible thing. And it's true, right? There's people who Tony Robbins and all these other people who are helping so many people are effective because the stuff works, right? So, but fundamentally, you just need to do the work. You need to figure out what it is that you want. Is that the starting point?
Yes, it's having that desire. And I think that's the, you know, the best-selling book out there, you know, Think and Grow Rich. Like, I always think it's all about think, right? It's about our desire, like, where our mindset starts with, that Think and Grow Rich. Like, it's just so powerful. And that having that desire, and like you talked about, like, you know, how some people, they can't really believe, you know, they're going to be rich. And because of that, they start, you know, sometimes having a love-hate relationship with money. You know, they start, you know, seeing that it's like, oh, they don't believe they can be rich. So then they start getting stuck at where they're at, and then they don't believe they can get there. And if their mindset or attitude's not in the right place, sometimes they become resentful around people who do have that money, and that doesn't help. Like, being jealous or feeling, you know, resentful against other wealthy people is not really going to help them either. So I guess one quick tip I tell myself when I'm catching myself in this kind of mindset of, you know, feeling that something cannot be done and believing, then I ask myself, you know, is this thought really serving me? You know, how is it serving me? It's like, it's not serving me at all. Then just try to delete it, you know, and then move on to a different counter, you know, positive thought.
I think that that's great. I mean, are your thoughts really serving you? Are our brains really serving us? And the answer is that no, certainly not all the time. And we need to be mindful of it. So I love it. Well, Caroline, Savage Nation is ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I recommend to start building the money habits and mindsets today to get ourselves out of the bad cultural programming mindset. So start money mindset and habits today. So start investing today. Like, don't wait for a future time to invest and save money, but you can start doing it today to build that money mindset that you already have that ability to do it, rather than waiting. And since investing is something that builds through time, starting earlier is better than later, and your future self will thank you for it.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets a come on.
Come on.
And yes, your future self will be very happy with you, versus the opposite. You don't want that person being pissed off. So, Caroline, thank you so much for coming on. Where can Savage Nation learn more about you?
Sure. We can go to boldmillionaire.com and to learn more about money, wealthy mindsets, you can go to cashflowqueen.co, and there are 8 money mindset and habits on a quick sheet tip.
I love it. Well, Savage Nation, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Caroline your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to boldmillionaire.com and go to cashflowqueen.co. Check out all the great things that Caroline is working on. Thank you again, Caroline.
Thank you, George.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight, because we are all in this together.